Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Beat out Kobe.
It would take Big Ron to offer that sediment. Go ahead. You got one more thing to say?
One more thing. I mean, it'd be the same thing if you go to New York. You go to New York. He's battling against the Yankees, the Jets, the Giants, Jay-Z.
It's enough room in New York for him, though.
It's a lot of room.
A-Rod fit in when he went.
Right now, LeBron needs titles.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Bole, Ray Jeezy, Will T, and we are part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. That was the homie Ron. Today's like the anniversary of Ron's death. Ron passed 9 years ago to this day. So we wanted to play that clip just so y'all can hear the voice. When you hear us say, lead us out, big homie, we talking about Mega. Ray, Will T, what's good?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? That clip is, nostalgia.
It's interesting to think about that. I'm going to take a positive stance, what I mean? It's been a long time. It's been a blessing to celebrate Ron. And this show is an opportunity for us to create a legacy,
facts, man.
That's crazy. We have so much recorded content everywhere, both video, except for Will. But Will, you got audio. But, I mean, real talk. Our voices will always live on because of this platform. So that's crazy to think about it like that.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, in this day and age where a lot of people are going viral or they're, broadening their platform, with their voice on various platforms, we've stayed local, we've stayed us, and, we've got content on content on content. So
yeah, man.
It's dope.
It is, man. I just wanted to share a story about Ron. I think it's a day to celebrate, Because we had an opportunity. That day was a sad day, but over the years, it's a day to celebrate and talk about the dude, the funniest thing about Ron to me, right? It was like this dude, we all play fantasy football and whatnot. And I've never seen a dude so prepared for fantasy football, but like lose every year though. Didn't win a championship. He had a notebook. We would be in Buffalo Wild Wings. Bama had a notebook, notes. You know what I'm saying? You would think this dude was like
sitting off by himself too.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like what's a GOAT coach? I'm trying to think of one of them GOAT prepared coaches, like that you just
Coach
think
K.
About Coach K or a Belichick or something, right? And you would, like, if you looked at Ron from distance, you would think Ron have, like, titles, bro. Like, he would have banners of fantasy football.
He was like Larry Brown.
That's a good one.
He won every now and again, but his attention to detail was amazing. Boeheim, people like that who didn't win often, but you knew they were great.
Yeah.
And he was humble. Yeah. But he was somebody that was fun to compete against.
Yeah, he was, man.
And
not Ashton.
He didn't talk a lot of trash. I brought the story of last time we celebrated him. I brought the story of how I came back to school, UMES, to watch the Falcons-Redskins game with you guys. And he didn't come out the room the entire game until the Redskins went and said, hey, welcome back. And I was like, really? Like, okay, now you're going to say something. I'm about to roll out. But, yeah, good dude, good brother. And it's a blessing to be able to just hear his voice. And the fact that it was part of this platform is, like I said, it's dope.
It is.
Super man. Dope.
It really is. Hey, you can go ahead and read. I'm about to call our guest.
Absolutely. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcasts, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN, Washington Commanders, Insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today Insider Mike Jones.
Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Make sure to subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
And also check us out on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. And don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
My man, you care you because I was trying to put
one?
I was trying to put a bet in.
Do you want this one?
Do this.
All right.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
What you betting on?
Don't even worry. I'll tell you after the bet is placed.
Superstitious.
Hey, I feel you. Let's get into our... I'm about to say like you ain't here. Sorry, bro. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Geeking. All right, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Josh Harris group officially buying the Commanders and training camp with Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus Washington Commanders reporter, Donna Hopkins. And finally, we'll preview Saturday's big fight between Bud Crawford and Earl Spitz. Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to talk about the fight. But right now, we have Tony McGee Pro Football Plus Washington Commanders reporter, Donna Hopkins, on the line. What's going on, Donna?
What's happening, fellas? What's happening?
How you been, Donna?
Yeah. Look, I was telling everybody today out at training camp, it was smoking hot. And it's supposed to be smoking hot for the rest of the week. But let me just say, the attitudes, the change in the team, it's smoking hot also. And, you know, I stood out there and I was like, is this my 30-something plus training camp? I'd have been through all the names.
Oh, so you've been to Carlisle. You was back when Fox Carlisle. 5 was out. Was Fox 5 was out there.
I love Carlisle. I mean, that was when they were hitting real football practices. And I loved the Frostburg. You know, went back to Richmond, went back to Carlisle a couple of times. And then, you know, out here at the facility for the Commanders. And I like it being close because you don't have to go far, but I did like Carlisle because I would stop at all the fruit stands. So
that is dope. That's when fruit wasn't GMO and stuff. Man, Donna reminiscing on the show. That's what's up. We always enjoy having you.
I had to go back a ways. Let me come back to the presence now.
It's all good. We appreciate the perspective. And now, like you said, there's more change. Everybody is excited about it. When I say everybody, I mean everybody. The Josh Harris Group, they officially bought the Commanders. My bad, Will. Donna, you're there. You at the pep rally. Magic Johnson was in attendance as well. Of course, you got to share just what the vibe was like and what your perspective was. My bad.
Yeah, you know what? They were saying all the right things. And I think that, you know, the new regime and everything wants to bring about necessary change. You talk about the guys that have taken over. They are winners. We talked about that earlier in the past before the ink was put on the paper, is that Magic knows what it is to win. Josh Harris knows what it is to win. But even more so, they know what it is or what it takes to win with the fans, because right off the bat, you know, they call one of the radio shows and they give everybody a free glass of beer. I mean, they didn't have to do that. The old regime never would have done that. And then during the pep rally, came out to be with the fans, you know, to be right there with them. And everything that they said is key things in moving this team forward. So I know everybody is excited because it's something new. But you know what? It all comes down to W still.
All right, Donna, you mentioned something interesting to me. You said moving forward. Let me ask you this about this organization moving forward. They just brought in Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator. We know that Ron Rivera has been here, I think this is year four for him?
Yeah.
Year four. Do you think that Ron Rivera will have a long leash if he does not win with this new ownership group coming in?
They are looking for wins right off the bat because this team has not won in, like, forever. It's been a long stretch since we heard about this team going to Super Bowls, playoffs, playoff championships, and all of those things. But I think that this new ownership, they are going to hold everybody really accountable. And they're not going to take a long time in letting that happen. Because the thing about when you look at the regime, the only person that is new in this coaching staff, for the most part, that is an offensive coordinator or any coordinator, is Eric Bieniemy. Other than that, Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera, they've been here. So they've had time enough. And everybody's crying about, you know, the fact of, you know, he hasn't had a quarterback in place. And maybe that's some of the reason. Well, he's bought in some of the people that, you know, the Scott Turners and all of that stifles some of these quarterbacks or the offense in general. But you can't look at him and say just because he didn't have a quarterback as far as, you know, this team moving in the right direction. I think it's a short lease that they've got on Ron Rivera, and they're going to expect, you know, big things from him this year, because this new ownership wants this team to move forward in the right direction. And they may pull the plug after this year on Ron Rivera, because I think that they've got a lot of key things in place. Now, the quarterback situation, still a big question mark. That's been a big question mark, like, for as long as I can remember. I mean, for at least 15 or so years, they haven't gotten the right person in here quarterback-wise. Mm-hmm. Now, can Sam be that guy? We don't know yet. But they're hoping that he does pan out, you know, in the early part of just what he's saying and the work that he's put in to be better. You know, we can only wait and see, because you know, training camp is training camp. You're not going to be able to tell anything until they put the pads on and go out there and play against the opponent. But yeah, I think it's just like everybody is on the bubble this year.
Donna,
maybe not Eric Bieniemy, but I think that Ron Rivera, he's got to, they've got to see something great out of him this year for him to come back next year.
I was just getting ready to ask you, so how long do you think the honeymoon period lasts? Like, everybody right now is got the googly eyes, but as we saw with the basketball team here in town, a lot of change, people were excited, but then a bunch of second-round picks come back in Jordan Poole, and some fans be like, okay, what are we doing now? So how long do you think this honeemoon period lasts, where everybody's like, oh, we got Magic, we got new stands, and all this other stuff? What happened?
Don't do that.
Hey, guys, you know what? It'll be a short marriage. You know how people get married now, they don't last no time. they get married, you know, our parents was that longevity. It was like they were married for 20, 30, and 40 and years and all that. And now, you know what? These people are trying to get divorced. They said, this ain't working out. I'm out of here.
So.
They could be in divorce court real quick.
Wow. I think you caught Wally off guard.
I think that this ownership has invested so much money. I mean, $6 billion is just not $1. I mean, they put money into this organization, and they still are. The training camp this year is spectacular as far as the stands. I call them bleachers. I said, okay, you're letting people know where you're from, West Virginia. But we grew up bleachers, but they're stands. So let me get it political right. The stands and the whole layout is really nice. I mean, this should have been done a long time ago. Mm. So the experience of the fans is going to be great. They better get there early, because they're expecting a big crowd on the Saturday. But I mean, you know, when you put that kind of money into an organization, you want results. And I know the ownership realizes that it's not going to happen overnight. The fans should realize that it's not going to happen overnight, because it's some pieces that still need to be put in place. And I know Ron Rivera basically constantly says all the time that we are so close, but not close enough in my book. Because the thing about it is, when you're close, it shows with wins and losses. And that's what people want to see. That's what the new ownership wants to see. So I think that they're going to be patient to a certain degree, but you're going to have to show them positive results every week on that field. I mean, you may lose, but it may not be like you got destroyed in the process, but you can see improvement in each game. But it still comes down to wins.
Donna, let me ask you this. You spoke of ownership. Before we get too excited about the present and the future, let's talk about the past ownership. That's Daniel Snyder. You are someone who's covered this team closely during his, 24 years as the owner of?
No, it's been like 30.
during some people would say his reign of terror as the owner. What do you think his legacy would be as the owner of the Washington Commanders?
Well, I mean, when you go out the way he did, that's what people are going to remember. They're going to remember that this team under his regime never did really get off the map. It was never going into the right direction. So he's going to be known for that part, is that he never was able to move this team in the right direction. And then on the personal side of it, it's even more devastating, because he's going to be known as a person who was not the morals and values, or that he was not a person that respected women, and not only that, staff in general. So you know, he robbed from the NFL, and all those negative things that he's being accused of, that he's having to pay millions of dollars for. That's what you realize, that people, you can do a thousand things right, but people only remember those lasting things that they were negative. And I think that's what the people are going to basically remember, is this was an owner that never did do it right.
All right. So, Donna, you mentioned the heat, and this is kind of a day for reminiscing for us. We didn't have no air conditioning when we first started this show, so we can relate to what you've been through. But I'm referring to training camp. You were out there, and you have been out there. What have you seen so far? What stood out to you?
Well, it's only day one, so it's hard. Oh. You know, the only thing that I can say that I saw in day one is the excitement, the new attitude of the players. It's almost like the players, you can tell that they feel like there's hope now in this team really moving in the right direction. They feel that the pieces are there, but it's just that you can feel that it's not a heaviness on them as in past years. But right now, and it's early, like I said, it's day one, but the energy out there, the attitudes, the outlook on this team, the weight has been lifted, per se. That's what I'm seeing in day one. The football end, let me just say this, that defense was killing today, because they had four interceptions. Not Sam. Sam didn't throw them, but it was the other quarterbacks. But still, I mean, the defense, to me, shined in the first day and everything. But like I said, that, you know, they're still, you know, filling it out. So I can't really project that much in day one, but I just like the fact that I like what I heard from the players and the outlook on this team. Of and then, like I said, Charles Leno, he's got a big camera in his hand coming down, you know, taking pictures like he's the photographer. So it's almost like the lightness of practice. I mean, I was dying laughing at him, because he was like, oh, Terry, let me get a picture of him. Look over this way. So it was like a good atmosphere. But I think that, you know, we talked about Eric Bieniemy and what he brings to this team or whatever. It's no nonsense is what he brings to this team. And he wants you to get it right. He's coaching those guys. And what Coach Rivera said, I think, in yesterday's practice, not today, when the media was just out there viewing the new field and everything and stands, is that he said that this year, because he doesn't have the other weight of having to deal with the other things off the field and all of that outside of football, that he will be able to really concentrate more on being involved more with the defense. Even though Jack Del Rio is the defensive coordinator, he's going to be more involved with the linebackers and on that defensive side. And then he's going to be involved a little bit on the offensive side, he said, in helping to, you know, be a mentor to Coach Bieniemy, you know, as he, you know, gets used to this role and you know, mentoring him for a head coaching job. So he's going to be more hands-on this year, being that he hasn't been able to because of all the drama, you know, in the past year. So I think you're going to see him in a different light this year also.
All right. So Donna, like for you, Donna, going into this camp, like what is the, for you, what is your main storyline?
I think the main one is, like probably everybody, is let me see what the quarterback situation is going to pan out to be. Because I think when I look at the defensive side of the ball, I think that they're solid. They've got a young secondary, but a really talented secondary. So I think that they're going to be really strong there. You know, hopefully no injuries to, you know, those guys on that side of the ball. I think the safety position, like I said, is solid. But I like the secondary, because they are a fun bunch of guys and everything to just be around. The linebacker position, I think that you have to wait and see to see what becomes of that area, because I think that was an area that they needed to address that needs to be stronger. And Jamin Davis, I think, you know, he's coming off a little injury, you know, to see what he's going to be like, and some of the other linebackers. And then, you know, everybody is looking at the defensive line, solid all the way across. But I guess everybody is still saying, what will Chase Young be? What kind of player will he be this year? Will we see him again, the explosive, the player that we was seeing in year number one? You know, how will he come back 100% from now the 4 year, you know, outside of that injury? So I think he's on everybody's radar. Not so much mine's, because I think he's going to be okay on that side. But we'll see. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, they've got all kind of weapons. Antonio Gibson was talking about today that he's the third back and everything, because they're loaded right there. I mean, that is an area that's going to be strong. The tight end position, you know, everybody is talking about the tight end position. I think that they're solid there. I mean, when it comes down, the receivers, the two areas that concerns me still is how would the offensive line be, which has been a problem all season. I mean, you know, in the last probably 10 seasons and everything, and hopefully they're solid there, but I still have concern there. And then the quarterback position, that's what I'm really looking at, because that's going to make everything else go. It doesn't matter about all the other pieces that you got on offense, is how the quarterback position under Eric Bieniemy. I think that offense is going to be explosive because of the weapons they've got, and just his knowledge and his experience of, you know, what he did in Kansas City, because he has some of the pieces, maybe not Kelsey, but I mean, he has a good enough tight ends that they can still get the job done. But it comes down to, again, the quarterback position, and Sam rise above, you know, everything to really be that quarterback that they're looking for. And the fact that they named him as a starter takes some of the weight off him to a certain degree.
So, and Donna, what would you say? I know you're talking about the quarterback position being something that you're really paying attention to. But in terms of camp battles, like, what is the battle that you have your eye more on? Is it the quarterback room, or is it another position?
It could be the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett, it could be, he could rise above. He could be that person that, you know, get out. Because we know how it happens is that somebody goes in that's the starter, that's not the sure guy yet, but somebody else may be able to beat him out. So I think you've got to look right there at those two guys, because it could, I mean, if Sam doesn't work out and whatever, Jacoby could be that guy, because Jacoby has experience, although he threw an interception today, but I didn't call that out. But really, when you look at him, he's solid. He played, you know, last year, and he did well. So that position, I think, is one to look at. Even the running back position, even though we see Brian Robinson and maybe Chris Rodriguez, the rookie, and then Antonio Gibson and all those, they bring a different flavor, each one of them, Rock Cartwright and all of those guys. They bring they're all different in their own strengths. So and that's what makes them so unique as far as that running back position. But the wide receiver position is another one that's going to be a battle, because beyond your Terry McLaurin's and Dotson's and even Curtis Samuel and those guys, it's some battles after that. I mean, that, you know, the wide receiver position, and even in the secondary, the cornerback position with some of those younger guys. And then, you know, they talked about the kicking game, the return guys, because Antonio Gibson, does he return again this year, because he did a pretty good job last year? Will Dotson, you know, be back there a little bit? Probably I wouldn't put him back there, because he's too valuable as a wide receiver. But that position, as far as the return, the kickoff and the return guys, that's going to be, I think, a position to watch also, because they're still trying to feel their way there And then, you know, the kicker, you know, Washington has had a problem with the kicking game and all that. Yeah. Not Tressway. Tressway has been solid. But the other way, maybe not. And Ron Rivera was talking about bringing some different people in there. So they haven't solidified that position either.
Blew it.
They just signed a kid. What's his name? Badgley. They signed Badgley. Yeah. So he's going to be competing with what's the old strong boy kicker? What's his name? The kicker from last year. The strong dude.
Are you trying to bring Dustin Hopkins back? I would be okay with that.
Hopkins. What's the dude last year? I can't even think of his. I forgot his name. The kicker last year.
Yeah, but I think I'm looking at the roster now and everything.
Joey Sly.
Thank you, Joey Sly.
Yeah,
thank you,
Joey.
Thank you, Ray. Joey
is in there, but I don't know if they're 100% sold on Joey. So
I ain't either.
And that's the reason why Ron Rivera was talking about, you know, possibly bringing some guys in for competition, because competition only pushes you to be better.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, so
what? Ask me in about a week, and I can give you a more in-depth look at really who's standing out. Because, like I said, the first week I just kind of like assess where it's just like everybody is getting into the groove. Mm-hmm. The second week is when I really be making my notes as far as this person has stood out, this guy is struggling, or, you know, I can assess things a little bit better, because, you know, the 15th and the 16th, they're going to have an inner squad practice with the Baltimore Ravens. So that's when you're going to be able to tell a lot more. The last time they had an inner squad scrimmage against another team, it was Houston, where they got into a fight down in Richmond, and they never were able to practice because it kept breaking out. They kept bringing them back, breaking out. But I think that this is where you kind of like, it helps you as a team to have a couple of practice with another team versus just yourself, because I think you'll be able to tell a lot about, you know, your team after going up against somebody else that you're not used to seeing every day. And Baltimore is a good measure for both the offense and the defensive side for Washington.
Well, we'll wait and see, Donna. I'm going to hit you up. Baby Donna, before we let you go, tell our listeners how they can catch you on social media and catch your content as well. And I told you, plug in all your social media too. Don't do that. That stuff you
can see. They can catch me on Facebook, DJ Hop. As far as Instagram, DJ,
it's DJ Hop 32 on Instagram.
On Facebook, they can Donna J. Hopkins. On Instagram, DJ Hop.
32, DJ Hop 32. Add the 32.
DJ Hop 32. Yeah. That's 32. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. That Matt Johnson.
Yeah, DJ Hop 32 on Instagram, Twitter, Donna J. Hopkins. And then make sure they can go to our podcast and then on YouTube and everything. I post different things for training camp in the minute. If they put in the minute on YouTube, they can punch that up, or Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus on YouTube. So I kind of like post all the contents and everything from practices. But, you know, if they hit all of those things, they'll be able to get what's going on, the latest happening at 2023 Washington Commanders training camp. Okay. I try to bring a little flavor, you know, as far as really digging into those one-on-one interviews with the players to really, you know, find out who they are, not on the football field, but outside of football also. So I enjoy, you know, getting to know the players myself. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Donna, thank you. Appreciate you. Again, we're going to work on you plugging your social media. We're going to work on that. I told you. Like, you guys.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm working on Twitter. You know, Twitter. I'm putting more content out there because a lot of people go there versus anywhere else.
Yep, so that's facts.
I'm trying to be better, Wally.
Yeah, please.
You're pushing me.
I'm keep trying. I'm telling you.
I'm trying to, but I'm definitely X.
Call it X.
Call it X, right? It's X now.
X.
All right, Donna. Appreciate you as always.
All right, guys. All right, see you later.
See you.
Have a good night, Donna.
Have a good night, Donna.
All right, again, that's Donna Hopkins from the Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. She's a Washington Commanders reporter. And on Twitter, I'm going to help her out. It's @DonnaHopkins_.
That was funny. She was hilarious, man. She was. Talking about the marriage thing.
The marriage thing got me. I'm sorry.
It's a great analogy. Because it was, though. It's the world we live in.
It is, man. All right, man. You know, the world we live in has one of the best fights ever in life, man, right now. It's one of the best fights. I'm just so excited for this fight, man. It's big fight week. But Bud and Spence going down this Saturday. Al Jones from In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to talk about this fight after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yedig.
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Shannon Crowder is kind of telling, though, isn't he? No. And he kind of snitching. He's, I hate to use the word.
He is telling, but McClain came out today and said, you know, hey, yeah, I spit on the man accidentally. You know,
that's the same thing T.O. said.
Yeah, I was speaking, you know, whatever I said, spit came out.
He didn't pull a Romanowski, did he?
But you see his neck jerk.
Yeah, his neck jerked. He did spit on the man. And then
go ahead, my bad.
He's on Twitter. He's everywhere saying, I didn't do it. Then all of a sudden, it's like, I didn't do it on purpose. Come on, now.
McClain looks like James Toney to me. He just looked like outside the cameras, man. He like he could be a real mean dude. So Ray Rice was on Twitter. He wouldn't even talk about it.
I'm sorry, I mean, because from what I hear, this is not his first incident that he's done that.
Really?
I heard he's a dirty player.
What's wrong with spitting on somebody? Aren't they playing football?
Like Shady Crowder said, man, you get killed in the hood for that. You will get killed.
You know, Channing Crowder has developed a reputation right now talking a lot of trash to opposing team. You saw what he did against the Jets. Same thing what he did against the Patriots. I mean,
he's like Mark Scott.
Yeah,
it's not an excuse to spit on somebody.
Yeah, you don't spit on a man. You don't spit on another man.
You heard Tom Jackson, who wouldn't even stand up to Rush Limbaugh. Talking about, I would be on a plane back to his hometown. We'll meet. Come on, man.
I know. I laugh.
Come on, man. Tom Jackson.
Come on, man.
You think Chris Bird would have let him give him some time off to go up there?
Rumbling, stumbling, fumbling.
But another game we had, Kansas City, Oakland, man. All of us picked the black hole, man. That was, I mean, you guys watched the game? It was a pretty good game.
It was the game of the week.
Yeah. I mean, right now, both of them are playing pretty good. Oakland's, what, 5-4 right now, playing great. I mean, the Chiefs are struggling a little bit, but they're still winning. I mean, is this the same rivalry of, like, maybe a few years ago when they were actually winning?
Maybe for this game and maybe for the rest of the season. But beyond that, it's Oakland and Kansas City.
Well, see, it's still rivalry out in the West, and Kansas City and Oakland, it still means something. But nationally, it hasn't mean anything in a while, since probably Joe Montana.
70s.
Yeah, Joe Montana,
if that.
Marcus Allen, probably that
the
angle right
Raiders
there.
Weren't even good when Montana and Marcus Allen were playing.
Marty Schottenheimer versus John Gruden.
I mean, their rivalries are pretty Raiders much built off then. The 60s and 70s. Yeah. They really haven't had a major rivalry.
My bad. What was Nebraska's coach name?
Callahan.
He was the coach back then.
Well,
that's crazy. Anyway, you're listening to the Urban Sports Series with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Ole, and we are part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. Oh, never mind. You take two. I'll do it. Right now, we have Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones. What's up, Al?
What's up, fellas?
I love you,
what's
up, fellas?
Al,
Hank, that's what I'm talking about.
Fight week, man.
My goodness, man. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. Thursday night, Friday night. I just don't know what to say or do, man. We have been waiting for this for 3 years now. I have predicted it was going to happen. Y'all know it. Y'all
just facts. You didn't say it. You wouldn't believe it.
When the world doubted it. When the world, and you know, we got to go back, pull the tape. We're going to have to go back and check the tape now. Y'all know I was only one of few people that was saying that this was going to happen.
This is true. You did.
Let's see your flowers.
Call me Al Nostradamus if you want to.
Yeah, we got to give you your flowers for that. Hey, but Al, real quick, according to some people, I'm going to say some people, you know, some cool people too, this is a fight that will explain and decide who is the pound for pound number two. Because Inouye, whatever, he's, according to many people now, he's number one pound for pound. What you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just, listen. I totally agree. Inouye has been on my top pound list going on 5 years now.
Okay.
He has been a beast and will remain a beast. Mm. Pound for pound, Inouye is one of the best fighters, is the best fighter in boxing.
Dang.
is the best fighter. I don't know. And listen, listen, fellas. I'm a great. I love Stephen Coolboy Fulton. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love Coolboy. I saw when he got his first belt. When I first met him, when he was on the undercard for Jared Hurd and J-Rock Williams in D.C., in Virginia, a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been impressed with the youngin' ever since. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't know why, and I know about Al Haymon, I know Al did not send the champ to Japan to fight for your belt. Why would you go all the way into enemy territory to fight Inoue and you the champ? You're a unified champion. Why would you even go for that? I mean, it wasn't one person. I sat there and watched. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I didn't want to miss it. And it wasn't one fan in Japan that was rooting for Stephen Coolboy Fulton except for those that was in his corner. Why would you set yourself up for that?
He was trying to establish that Rocky theme, you know, going abroad. He went for the money, though, honestly. Money.
I know he was going over to get the bag.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He wanted to go get that money. But if you fighting pound for pound, one of the best pound for pound fighters in boxing to this day, you know what I'm saying, has been for over a good five years now, you know. Why would you go all the way over it? And you're unified champion. He's just coming into your division. This is his first fight in your division. And you're going to go all the way over to Japan, fellas? I don't get that. That part I don't get. I'm not putting mines on the line. Only thing now, bad business move, bad management move. Only thing I pray, and hopefully Al Haymon put a rematch clause in this contract.
No, it wasn't one, unfortunately. But many people are saying that's a good thing because he didn't have a chance regardless. So there is no rematch clause. But
he needs one because there's no way you gonna beat me like that and take my belt for me and just think I'm just gonna roll over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he gonna roll over with some money.
Ill advised right there.
He gonna do some things to get himself right though. Sometimes you need that in your career. To be able to bounce back, but not everybody does bounce back, you know, like Julian Williams. But as big as a fight as that was, we got this fight that you're so excited about. And what we want to know from you is this the biggest fight of our generation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we haven't seen
I think so. A
fight to this of this magnitude and since Hearns and Leonard, really. You can go back a little further, you can say. You can go back to Holyfield and Tyson, and so at least, you know, 30 years. But this one here, of this era, you know, we're a little bit more mature. But this is the biggest fight of this particular era.
So you don't think the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight was one of the bigger fights?
Well, Floyd is in a different era.
Okay, I get you. See, the only reason I would group them in the air and I still would choose this fight is because you got these two fighters in their primes. Like, you're getting them in their prime. That's why, to me, this is why it's the biggest fight, even, I would say, even in the early 2000s to now, because you're getting two of the absolute best in their primes fighting each other. We haven't really said we've gotten that. You know what I mean? We hear stories about Hagner Leonard or the Hitman versus Leonard or Hitman versus Hagler. We've heard stories of that. But in terms of our era, like even Tyson Holyfield, we didn't see Tyson and Holyfield fight in their primes, right? We're seeing these two fighters fight in their prime. Now, in terms of cash, the cachet, yes, it ain't going to be like Pacquiao and Mayweather because of the name. But in terms of a boxing fan, two of the best fighters fighting each other in their prime, we haven't seen it.
Right. No, we haven't. And like I say, you know, Pacquiao, and another thing too, I mean, it can't touch Floyd and Pacquiao. That's why I left them in a different era.
Yeah.
Quick question, Al.
Because Floyd and Pacquiao were household names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm.
These guys, you know, Bud is so melancholy. He's still so melancholy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Spence is trying. Spence has won the press conference already to me. Mm. Spence has won on all access to me, you know, going into the fight. Spence is trying to bring something up out of Bud. Mm. With, you know, I'm going to bust him up. I'm going to break his head.
Smoking Bud.
Brains on the table. And Spence is just so laid. And Crawford is just so laid back and melancholy. You know, he's just like, well, you know. At one point, if a dude, and y'all know this, fellas. If a dude keep telling you, I'm going to bust you up. I'm going to break your jaw. I'm going to have your brains all out on the street. At some point, I don't know. I know Crawford is who he is. But me, you're not going to just sit up there and keep talking all that junk about me and don't think I'm going to fire back at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Al. We know that Bud isn't the most out front, the biggest shit talker, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But do you think that responsibility to really amplify the fight and amplify these two guys, through whatever marketing means, is more on the promoter opposed to the fighters? Or you think? And I do understand that the fighters do have a role in promoting the fight, but do you think that it's just simply that the promoters need to find different ways and platforms and avenues to promote these fights opposed to just taking Showtime's money and doing an all access?
No, you have to promote yourself first and foremost. Mm. This is what sells. I mean, why have we seen somebody who has never fought in the world ever in sellout arenas? And that's Jake Paul.
Mm.
Because Jake Paul knows how to promote himself and sell out fights.
Mm.
And he does. I mean, I've never seen nobody 3-0 and on Showtime. Mm. Boxing. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This dude is selling out. Jake Paul is selling out arenas, yo. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that sucks.
I mean, where do you get that at?
Yeah, I know.
What's crazy is Jake Paul's still doing that too, just by the way, because recently his team said Jake Paul has never been beaten. He has a loss, but he's never been beaten, which is hilarious. That is so freaking funny. That is so funny to me. But you remember when Bob Arum was frustrated with Terrence Crawford, and that's where their relationship really went sour, because Bob came out and said, trying to get this dude to promote is like pulling teeth, and he wants to be considered Floyd Mayweather. But Floyd, this is what he did. He brought people out of their houses. He got people to pay for pay-per-views because he was that entertaining, or he annoyed you that bad. He did that to Ricky Hatton. And he wore like a sombrero one fight. What fight was that? Will you remember? I don't remember. But he did stuff like that. Yeah, he did that intentionally to sell fights, and it worked out perfectly from a business standpoint. Crawford isn't that guy. We know that. But let me ask you this. Hypothetically, let's say Spence wins and Canelo beats Jermell. Texas Stadium, Canelo, Spence. Would that be bigger than this fight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's no question.
Just wanted to ask.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, this fight here isn't, like I said, they're not household names. Bud is not a household name, you know. So I'm really not expecting it to do the numbers like Pacquiao and Mayweather did.
Nah, I agree. So
I don't see no 1.2 million pay-per-view buys with this fight.
That was Tank and Garcia, though, according to what we're trying to, yeah.
Now, Tank and Garcia, because.
They market each other. They market each other. They market well.
And Ryan knows how to sell a fight.
He does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he does.
Ryan was the one that, Ryan has a country behind him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He has Mexico behind him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where Tank doesn't. Tank got Baltimore and a few of
those. Oh, Tank got Atlanta too, man. Come on, man.
I mean, he got Atlanta. He got New York.
Yeah.
He said he got Baltimore. He got the chicken boxes and stuff.
That's it. Ryan Garcia got Mexico. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, that's something that came up to me. That's a great point.
The amount of supporters that Ryan has.
Yeah, I believe he has.
Oh, he got some crazy.
I mean, that's a great point. This is why some were asking Terrence to fight Bud to fight Errol in Texas because they knew it would be a bigger fight, and he didn't think he can get a fair shake. He said, absolutely not. I'm not going to Texas to fight him. It's not fair.
But that's just like Fulton going to Japan.
Exactly. I don't know if it's that bad, but so let's talk about the ins and outs, I guess. Now, what does each guy have to do to win this fight? Let's start with Bud.
Well, Bud, we all know, and the fight is going to be great. I mean, to tell you the truth. In order for Bud is going to have to pick up his pace. He doesn't want to go in four rounds down, three or four rounds down. We all know Bud is a slow starter.
Mm-hmm.
So Bud doesn't want to be three or four rounds down trying to figure out and come up with a strategy for a fighter like Errol Spence. So if I'm Bud, I'm coming out. By round one, we can fill each other out. But come round two, we fight. We going at it. He's going to have to become more aggressive in this particular match. Maintain his lateral movement as well. Control and try to dictate and control the pace of the fight in order for Bud to be successful. If Bud is just trying to counterpunch all night, which Spence is expecting him to do, it's going to be a long night for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in order for Bud to really win, I need Bud to try to control and dictate the pace of this fight, maintain his skill set, step his skill set up, and also utilize what you've always done. You're a counterpuncher. That's what's been working for you. You know, it's muscle memory.
Uh-huh.
So your muscles, you're always known as a counterpuncher. That's what you're going to do. But the main thing that I need to see from Bud is picking up and controlling the pace, picking up his own pace to try to control the pace of this fight.
How fast you think?
Stick behind his counter, create more of his jab. I really wouldn't go, switching up as much as he does. You're fighting a true softball now. So that's to your disadvantage, going at it with Spence trying to switch up from side to side, left, right, ambidextrous and stuff. That would hurt him. So pick which way you're going to go and stick to that also.
All right, you mentioned some of the things that Bud has to do to win this fight. Let me ask you this. Spence is the naturally bigger man. Haven't really seen anyone. Well, we've seen people fight on the inside with Bud, but it hasn't been to their advantage. With Spence being the naturally bigger man, how do you think that weighs on Bud as you go on to the later rounds, almost the championship rounds of the fight?
Well, you and I know somebody bigger than you and they digging in on your body and hitting you with these body shots, that's not a good feeling. So you're going to have to pivot up out of that. You're going to have to control just the same way that he controlled Sean Porter. When Sean was trying to bum rush him and come in there, he's going to have to keep Bud also. I mean, he's going to have to keep Spence up off of him and use his pivot well and be very defensive when Spence tries to come in there and roll over on him and roll him over. Because with Spence, it's going to be like the snowball effect. If you keep letting him come on, the snowball is going to get bigger and bigger as it rolls downhill. Mm. So if you continue to let Spence come in on you like that, you're going to be in trouble. So you got to keep Spence up off of him. You got to create your lateral movement. You can't be on your heels. You're going to get in trouble if you're fighting on your heels with Spence. So you got to keep maintaining that lateral movement, man, and keep your feet, And Bud is always in impeccable shape, He's going to have to keep his feet. His footwork is another attribute for him in this particular fight also.
Al, I think I know you're going to go with this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How do you think this fight's going to play out?
Well, it's tough, man. It is a tough fight. I mean, both and we know styles make fights. You know, I hope because of that, you know, I know both men are warriors. I really hope that Bud can maintain and sustain someone, you know, a Mexican style type fighter like Spence is, who's gonna come in. Mm-hmm. And peep game. Spence knows how to box as well. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Olympic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He knows how to box. He just hasn't had to. But that's another strength that he has. He knows how to box as well. So, you know, so Spence is very versatile. He's gonna make his adjustments. He's gonna see what's working. He's gonna press the button and make this fight. You know what I'm saying? Spence is gonna be the aggressive. He has that passive aggressive attitude. So he's gonna be very aggressive in this fight. And he's gonna pick, okay, well, I need to box more aggressively. I need to come in my Mexican style, you know, storm in more, you know, and get aggressive with that also. So I really think, and the hunger is really what is to Spence's advantage. Spence is far much, to me, Bud is just too laid back. And with the hunger, I mean, Spence has been on he went to the UK, took Kell Brook's belt. He fought Sean Porter, looked for Sean Porter, took his stuff. He went to Ugas, took his belt. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, that's just hunger right there. So now, in order for his accomplishment, he's the one that made, we know Spence is the one that made this fight happen. He's the one, you know, looking for that girl to dance with on prom. You know what I'm saying? Somebody to dance with. So he's been making this. This is what he wanted to do. And he's been at this. So like I say, with that, all of that being in mind, the outcome is going to be Spence on a TKO round 11.
Ooh, okay. Right.
To answer your question.
Okay.
Yeah, we ain't going to argue with
you. In round 11.
We trust in that you know what you're talking about just based off recent history, you know.
Right.
It wouldn't be wise to go against you. But and we have a question about the rematch. Now, I believe that, of course, there is a rematch clause, and I think the timing of this fight is great because it allows for the second fight to happen this year. And I believe it will, because neither guy is going to want to have a one-up because, again, they think this is the fight that's going to determine who's the best. Right. But I want to go to a little more controversy because I love your energy. So, of course, you know the judges have been announced. And Cheatham is one of the names that's on there. And people are already saying he's going to cheat him. But they're saying he's going to cheat. They say he's going to cheat Bud, though. And we already know the controversy around some of the judges scoring in boxing lately has been terrible. You talk about the Haney fight, which we talked about that wasn't too bad.
With Kambosos.
Yes, Kambosos. Again, great example. The Rolly fight is probably the worst one that I saw this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's been some wild scorecards. What is your thoughts about just people focusing on the judges going into this big fight?
Well, and I've been talking to a few people, honestly, and I'm working on, I got a few eyes in the fire. I'm working on actually trying to come up with a union. For boxers, because they need someone, you know, they really need someone in their corner in situations like this where we can hold the judges accountable. Judges need to be accountable. And when a fight so controversial happens like that, I want the opportunity to bring the judges into the office. Let's go over this tape. Let's watch this fight again and defend your judgment. How did you come up? I really want to hold them accountable and see, how did you come up with this decision? Uh-huh. How did you come up with this with these points being so lopsided like this? What did you see? And if they can't defend their scorecard, then they're going to be removed and never be able to judge a fight again. And you know, under this, I'm not happy. The sanctioning bodies are getting paid all this money, they're not doing their due diligence and really doing what they're supposed to be doing and taking these judges and reviewing these fights. So I'm really looking at, and you know, coming up with some type of union to where the fighters, if they feel that they're being cheated, they have someone that they can come to and that's going to defend them and defend their judgment and make sure and hold these judges accountable.
Yeah, that would be dope. Al, I know you got to get ready to take that flight to the fight, though. So we ain't going to hold you that long, man. But, hey, before we let you go, tell our listeners how they can catch you on social media and catch your content as well.
Absolutely. That's In the Ring with Al Jones on all social media platforms. My personal social media where I'm at predominantly most of the time is AJ In the Ring. You can always come in there, hit me in the DM. You got any questions, concerns, and you know, you can always find me there. And we're in the process. We have a larger platform. Right now, I've always been on 1490 WERE out of Cleveland. So now I'm on a larger platform. We're taking it to another stage. We're transitioning now to WFNZ. .com. It's also with Radio 1 as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just a larger platform. It's going to be big.
Nice.
So huge announcement coming soon within the next 90 days. Look forward to that. And we're going to roll that out. So, hey, big things are coming, fellas. So in the meantime, In the Ring with Al Jones, you can catch me on all social media platforms or AJ In the Ring. That's where you can reach me directly in the meantime.
That's dope, man. Shoot us a link when you once that happens, man.
Absolutely.
Listen to the show,
no
man.
Question.
All right, man.
No question.
All right, man. Man, take it easy, my man.
Okay, fellas. Have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man.
Appreciate you, Al.
Appreciate you, Al. You know we appreciate you.
Okay.
All right, man. That's Al, man. Al Jones on Twitter at In the Ring with Al Jones. I feel like I said Mike Jones.
Yeah,
I want to say Mike Jones, but yeah,
Al Jones.
I know the way I said the joint. Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, man, dope, man.
There's so much boxing that we could talk about, though. We need to just dedicate one show to boxing. I know that's definitely been your thing for a while, man.
Because
like Derrick James having Ryan and Anthony Joshua in that stable now, I feel like he's going to continue to get more and more fighters because people want to go where everybody's winning. Like seriously. That's a whole discussion in itself. And then remember when we had Anthony Peterson on, he talked about needing a union. He talked about needing representation. He was saying all these organizations, NFL, National, NBA. Remember he was going to Rand. He was like, boxing don't have that. He said, so look at my record. I've been doing my thing for all these years, but look where I'm at in my career because boxing just is so much politics involved.
I mean, then you also have the lineal heavyweight champion fighting the exhibition fight against someone from the UFC, a former UFC who was in the UFC.
Mixed martial arts, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, there's plenty to talk about. I mean, we're starting to see a very dangerous pattern where people who are not boxers but are personalities who can draw are starting to get into the ring and they're starting to outdraw a lot of the professional boxers, right? So, and I just think, you know, maybe we should take some time, just have some conversation, you know, about it. Then you also have, you know, second half of the year, you're going to have this rematch. You know, you'll have this rematch. Then I believe Bob Arum has already said that Shakur Stevens is going to fight a major fight by the end of the year.
He gonna fight Jermaine Ortiz, watch. For real. Who else is gonna fight him? I will not watch him fight Kambosos. We already know the outcome of that.
So Haney, he is the mandatory.
Haney's moving up to 140. His dad already said. So Regis is gonna be his fight. It's almost done.
That's gonna be on the zone. I don't know if it happens.
So he decided to move up.
But see, if and I don't know how is he gonna sign a one fight deal with Eddie Hearn? That's the only thing I wanna know. If he signs a one fight deal, I'm cool. He'll get Shakur. But if he signs a multi-fight deal with Matchroom, then it's a wrap. He's not ever going to fight Shakur unless Shakur runs and fight and catches him at 140.
Well, no. I mean, Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum have worked together before, right?
So you think it's going to be a catch weight then?
I don't know if it's a catch weight per se, but
they have worked. They do work. They can't. They have worked.
They have worked, but I just don't.
Bob Arum called it dead zone.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. But, you know, my bad.
Nah, it's all
and
good.
And then Oscar been going at Eddie Hearn a lot lately, too. It's so much to talk about. This is what I'm saying. We need this. Look at this table we're at. It's a round table.
Oh, and then we don't. Then we don't. That what you was doing? I know.
And then we also the atrocity that's going to happen in what, October, which is Charlo versus Canelo.
Canelo. Yeah. I think he is too powerful for Mel. I like Mel. We'll wait till it gets closer.
Nah, he's gonna get killed by
I don't know about.
I ain't gonna say get killed, but
he gonna get hurt.
I think you're really? You're
he gonna get hurt.
I definitely think you're going to see. I agree with Wally.
Yeah, he ain't a sucker, but he gonna get hurt.
I think you're gonna see Canelo attack his body in a way we haven't seen Charlo.
You're probably right. I'm not gonna debate. I ain't gonna lie. I'm a little biased because I like Mel, but. I just want to say this. I've never seen Mel smile this much. You know how serious he usually is. He know he's getting paid. He's not even tripping for real. If he loses, it's not really a big deal.
It's not a big deal. Everyone expects him to lose because he's supposed to fight the other Charlo. Right. That's the problem. Like,
right.
Yeah. That's what I don't like.
Got Tim Zhu. I would have rather seen Mel fight.
That's what I wanted to see.
That's why I don't like about Canelo. I'm like, come on, bro. I'm a Canelo dude.
Tim
Zhu's
probably going to fight.
Jamal Charlo
he's having some issues with his back and then I believe some mental health issues
going through the divorce and all
he's not in the place mentally to get in the
but
ring.
But see he came on social media twisted. I'm talking when he was done
oh,
he was,
for real?
Maul was and was right. Like I still got the fight lined up. I'm good on mental health. My brother getting it first. You know he was gone though, man. I don't know if he was smoking weed or what, but he was impaired in some form or fashion. And he basically said it's not the mental health. It's basically my brother is going to get his red first, and then I'm going next. But I don't know how true it is. All I know is this man Canelo did the right thing, signed with Heyman for three fights.
Yeah, I know.
Probably his three last.
That's
fights.
What I'm saying.
And Benavidez should be the last.
Yeah, he's on it. Benavidez is on it, so he's going to get that.
So all love to Canelo. We got a lot of boxing to talk.
Yeah, man. All right, time to end this show. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher. Well, Stitcher about to end, so I got to stop saying Stitcher. Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Do not forget to subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. Anyway, this has been a dope show. Appreciate all our guests for being on. I appreciate folks who are listening. Always appreciate the homie Ron. You know, he was such a good friend to all of us. So rest in paradise, my man. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yiddy.
Deuces. Mega, lead us out, homie.